Proverbs 8, we look this morning to the call of wisdom. And as we do so, if you would please join me in prayer for the reading of God's word. Christ, indeed you are a God, and we ask that you would set our hearts on fire according to your word. Lord, that in its flame we would love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And Lord, in keeping your commandments, that we would glorify you who are the giver of every good and perfect gift. For this we pray through Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Looking at just the first five verses. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gate in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. The word of the Lord. Billionaire James Marshall was a savvy businessman. He graduated magna cum laude from Yale Law School, had a brilliant career. At age 89, he met his future wife at a strip club. She was 26, the young blonde bombshell Anna Nicole Smith. A little over a year later, he died, and by all accounts, lonely and of a broken heart. His family, however, had probably the next 20 years or so in litigation trying to keep her from getting all of his money. A few years ago, Korean Airline Flight 86 was forced to return back to the gate. Like, what emergency would require that? Well, the daughter of the chairman of the airline was on the flight and had become enraged. Heather Cho used abusive language through documents and even made the flight attendants kneel before her and beg forgiveness for serving her macadamia nuts without first asking her, and second, for not having them already opened in a bowl. She then ordered the plane to come back to the gate at New York International Airport so that she could have the head flight attendant removed. There's actually an article in Wikipedia, I'm not making this up, Nut Rage Incident, detailing this. She was sentenced for violating airline safety laws. Being intelligent, being successful in one area of life, or even just simply being privileged, is no indicator of wisdom. Wisdom is not about IQ. It's about righteousness and truth. To be wise is to be morally smart. So wisdom must naturally then be connected to the Lord. We are called to live skillfully in the life that the Lord has given to us. Wisdom is that art of living skillfully in life. And because the Lord is the foundation of all wisdom, our lives are to be lived in pursuit of Him and His wisdom. Proverbs 8 and 9 are a personification of wisdom as a lady. This is in direct contrast to the woman folly. And this personification is meant to direct us to the Lord. It is meant as a teaching tool for us. And anytime we're in Proverbs, you need to remember that as we read Proverbs, the vast majority of the time, men and women are simply disused interchangeably. So when it speaks about an angry man, it also means an angry woman. When it's speaking about a patient man, it's also speaking about a patient woman. God's wisdom is for all of his people, regardless of age or gender or anything else. His word speaks to all of us equally. And his word then of wisdom is a call to everyone. We see that in verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? And then verses 2 to 3, we see where this call happens. By the road. By the crossroads, at the city gate. Wisdom does not call from hidden halls and secret caves, but from the most common places of humanity. The Lord doesn't hide himself away, but he actually comes to us. He seeks us first. And verse 4, to you, O man, I call, my cries to the children of man, O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Remember, to be simple is a moral quality. That's what Proverbs is dealing with. Not low intelligence, low moral intelligence. You who lack sense, morally speaking. You see, stunning 21-year-olds do do not marry 91-year-old men for anything other than money. And if you thought otherwise, you lack sense. And the world knows this. But that's the problem about foolishness. Morally, we darken our understanding. Again, wisdom speaks. Verse 6, I speak noble things. From my lips will come what is right. Will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are righteousness. Like the gospel, she is offered to anyone who will listen. The Lord is the one who pursues. But we do need to know there is a limit to the Lord's patience. Back in chapter 1, there was a personification of Lady Wisdom calling out to everyone. But there we read, for those who persist in ignoring her, there's a limit. Chapter 1 tells us, because I have called to you and you refuse to listen, because you've ignored all my counsel, when terror strikes, calamity comes. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. We cannot presume upon the Lord's kindness. What he offers is a gift, a mercy. He's under no obligation to you or me. If we spurn him, we do so at our own peril. Belonging to the Lord's people is a gift of grace and mercy. We are not going at life alone. More than that, it assumes a heart that has been regenerated, has been born again. That's not simply a New Testament teaching. The Old Testament repeatedly spoke of having our heart circumcised, having a heart of flesh, having a new heart. A call to wisdom is a call to God himself. It is a call to live connected to him. And when we do so, this wisdom naturally provides us safety and security. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge, discretion, good judgment, discernment. They are a safety and a security for us. Notice what's attached to it in verse 13. The fear of the Lord is a hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. You see, what is unique about biblical Proverbs is there's no counterpart to this fear of the Lord in any other pagan culture. All cultures have Proverbs of one kind or another. We all have these wise and sensible things, but wisdom in the Bible includes a fear, a reverence for God, because wisdom is not just about me, it's about him. We also need the fear of the Lord from keeping us from the danger of our successes. That's true, isn't it? Not just from leading us to dumb things, but also from keeping success from ruining us, because arrogance and pride are right there. We think somehow we accomplish these things on our own. And we've all been around very successful people in one area of life or another. Think about that. Think about those who excel in sports, actors or actresses, or maybe someone with great business dealings. And suddenly they think they're experts on everything else. They'll tell you about art, architecture, epidemiology. And on it goes. I'm successful here, so therefore I know all these other things. That's the danger of success, isn't it? Our own pride and conceit thinks that we have a right then to speak in all of these things. And we want the fear of the Lord to keep us humble. It keeps us from our overconfidence. A godly character is a means of safety for us. Verse 14 goes on and says, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. The Lord's way provides for us a life of security, of well-being. Following wisdom is not a guarantee, of course, that nothing bad will ever happen to you. We know that's not the case. Bad things still happen to wise people. But we know that a pursuit of wisdom will often keep you out of the way of harm because you're not even there to have it intersect with you. Following wisdom is simply doing what is right, and it will bring blessing in itself. Verse 15 says, by me kings reign, rulers decree what is just. worldwide, we long to see this taking place right now. The fear of the Lord and humility are in such rare supply, and globally we are all paying for it. But notice how wisdom continues to speak of these blessings. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in a way of righteousness, in a path of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. It does. It seems a lot about prosperity and wealth for wisdom. I really appreciate, though, what Tim Keller says about Proverbs and prosperity. And that is in your bulletin as well. He puts it this way. He says, real wisdom tends towards prosperity. Living as God intends you to will bless your life. But prosperity itself is never the wise person's ultimate goal. That's never the goal in and of itself. It's similar to happiness. That's a byproduct, a blessing, not the main thing. If your goal is prosperity, success, security, then you will miss wisdom, and you likely won't have any of those others to go with it. If you are a young man, and you think, you know, if I'm a gentleman and kind-hearted, I will get a great wife out of this deal. Someone will want to marry me. No. Be a gentleman. Be kind-hearted. Because that's what's right and pleasing to God. There is a blessing that finding a spouse can be a byproduct of that for sure. Because you would then be desirable for the right reasons. But you're not pursuing that as the goal in and of itself. You're pursuing it because it's pleasing to God. This takes us back to wisdom as a relationship. We choose to be with the Lord as the goal. The benefits, the payout, that's not the end game. Being like our Heavenly Father, that is. We want to be like Him. And there's a strange paradox in all this. We're told that wisdom seeks us, and then we're told that we have to seek wisdom. To seek and find. Verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. It's an irony that we're called to seek wisdom, and yet wisdom is calling out to us. How hard is it to find? Hey, I'm over here. Over here, wisdom. Come to me. One commentator put it like this. He said, it's not enough to be receptive to wisdom. One must actively pursue it. And not just say, I'm okay to some good things. I'm pursuing wisdom. Why? Because wisdom is pursuing God. Wisdom calling out in the streets. And yet we're told that we're even to use our money to buy wisdom in places. None of this is passive. Wisdom requires an action on our part. 32 and following. Look at all the verbs. Listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear my instruction. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside the doors. For whoever finds me finds life, obtains favor from the Lord. Look at all the action that takes place. This isn't like failing at an obstacle course or looking for hidden treasure and not being able to know where it is. The Lord puts it right in front of us, but it still requires an action from us. Like the gospel, the good news of the Lord's wisdom is proclaimed for everyone to come. It's the foundation of absolutely all of life. In verses 22 and following, speaking of wisdom, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first being beginning of the earth. Verse 27, when he established the heavens, I was there. Wisdom has always been there. And this personification of wisdom, particularly in these verses 22 to 31, of the early church understood as speaking to Jesus, speaking of who he was. There's actually church battles fought over these verses and how to properly interpret them. Was Jesus a created being, or was he always pre-existing? I'm not really sure that Proverbs 8 speaks to either one of these things. That's not its point. Its point is that he's the true foundation for everything for the believer. The Lord's that foundation. And we see that in Colossians chapter 1, echoes Proverbs 8. Speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created on heaven and earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones, dominions, powers, authorities, all things created through him and for him. He's the Word who became flesh. He went city to city, calling people to himself. Follow me. Listen to my teaching. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you. He sought after his own, and his own heard his voice. He did not turn away anyone who came to him. Those who were filled with pride and arrogance did not hear his voice. Those whose lives were the center of the universe did not hear his voice. Wisdom is personified here to instruct us. But wisdom is not something apart from God. It's an attribute of our triune God. To walk with the Father is to walk with wisdom. To follow Christ is to follow the path of understanding and righteousness. To yield to the Holy Spirit is to listen and to hear. You see, becoming enraged at a flight attendant for how they served you complimentary macadamia nuts is likely not a one-off. It's from a life yielded to the flesh. Now, does it mean that we're not going to have regrettable moments? No, not at all. What it does mean is that when we do, we are quick to ask forgiveness. We are quick to make things right. We allow even our shame to correct us. For pride and arrogance are the path of death. Wisdom is a moral pursuit. But hear this, a very careful distinction. Wisdom is a moral pursuit. It is not moralism. Moralism is where I do things in order to get God's favor. I do things to please him or simply so he leaves me alone. I'm just going to do the right things to get God off my back. That's moralism. That's not a pursuit of God in and of himself. That's a pursuit of distancing God. Wisdom is a moral pursuit. And Proverbs fleshes out what that looks like in all kinds of areas of our life. How I speak to one another. How I use my money. How I take correction. How I choose a spouse. How I use my sexuality. How I make choices are all a part of wisdom in its manifold sense. But all of these are not simply finding commonsensical approaches. And not like, well, what's the most practical solution? That's not what we're looking at. It's founded upon righteousness and truth. At the very heart, this is moral because they flow from the Lord. Verse 35, whoever finds me finds life, obtains favor from the Lord, but he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. If you practice what wisdom hates, what God hates, and you are on a path of death. To find wisdom is to find life. More than this, you have become a communicator of life. To be connected to the Lord means that you are now a conduit of his love and grace for others. You can bring forth words of life, or you can bring forth words of death. You can bring a service to people that is a way of life and flourishing, or you can demand others serve you in a spiral of destruction. A rich old billionaire uses his money to exploit a young stripper and in the end is exploited. A privileged woman uses her power and her authority to humiliate those serving her and in the end, she is publicly humiliated before nations. There's no life there. There's no joy. Verse 30 and 31, wisdom saying, then I was beside him, the Lord, like a master workman. I was his daily delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Now, a question comes to us, what is your joy? Are you a giver of joy to other people? To be connected to Christ is to be a fountain of his joy for the world. So often, we sit out there and think, well, I am the hurt one, I'm the wounded one. You guys should be bringing joy to me. Can't you see the things in my life that I'm suffering from? No, because in the gospel, to have life means to die, to give life to someone else. You're not waiting for someone to pour joy in you. You're connected to the joy giver. And therefore, you have this privilege and responsibility to bring life to people, to allow others to flourish, that your words are words of hope and redemption and encouragement, that your actions, the things that you do, point people to Jesus. That's what privilege we have. That we would be able to serve out of this capacity because wisdom has called to us. Wisdom has said, I see you, I have found you in Jesus. And because the follow me is to have life, now you then can be the aroma of life to others who are perishing. The purpose and direction of our lives are now changed. Think about how often we're trying to figure out what direction should I go? Young people in college, which college, this, what career, where should I go? Important things, but byproducts. Byproducts. The goal. Follow Jesus. How has he equipped me then to use these gifts to serve? All of God's gifts are meant to be a blessing to other people. We're not supposed to hoard them. They come to us. The wisdom that God gives, the art of living skillfully, is for us to navigate life, avoiding troubles and circumstances that we shouldn't be in, yes, but also to navigate life, to come beside others, to speak this truth to them, to live out this righteousness to them. In the world around us, think of all the things that are coming unhinged and going crazy. The world is screaming for wisdom. We have seen nothing but a parade of fools. And we're not to join into the cacophony of sound and dissonance and discord. We're to bring in speech and conduct of life and hope and joy. We don't have to have all the answers. We just point them to the one who does. We don't have to have it all together. And sometimes it's like, by faith, I'm going to choose to believe this. Amen. But we point them to Christ. We follow wisdom, who is Jesus. That has been given to us, brothers and sisters. Pray with me. Father Almighty, as we come before you, we thank you and praise you that you have found us. You have sought after us. We were lost. And Lord, we thank you for the indwelling of your Spirit that calls out to us, who leads us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, we would ask not only that you would forgive us where we have failed to live this way, but Father, that you would also continue to encourage us, to fill us with all hope and power and believing, that you would lead us after Jesus. Father, help us to be followers of Christ, to bring glory to him, that he would be our main goal, that he would be our life, our hope, and our joy. For we pray and ask things all in his mighty name. Amen.